Previously on Adventure.
I mean, I guess we could get a room, guys.
And Revan, like a huge sack of gold.
I knew you had money. If you can pay for those funny cigarettes you smoke, you definitely have gold.
The names of the guests are in placards that are slid underneath the numbers. You're able to push it open.
I'd like it to actually fly off the door.
You can see in the drawer, there is a tiny piece of paper kind of sticking out of one of the drawers. In the article, there are several letters that are circled and some that are squared.
Guys, we gotta go to Harry's at 2 p.m.
I will tell you this. Ferris Booth plans on surprising Betty Ann Brooks by marrying her at this engagement party. I offered her a better option. Life eternal for herself. All she need do is give herself to me, and I would give her this.
And there's a package in his hand. It's not his dick. It's not his dick.
You're going to sit down, and you're going to tell us everything.
Very well. I shall tell you all I know. The world you know, where you're from, can be returned to by dying in this world. But only after one has redeemed oneself. The impure of heart and the various indeed are sent here upon their demise from your world and can only return if they prove themselves worthy. Ferris Booth is not like the others in this world. What we call Earth. He did not come here from your realm, but has been imprisoned here for millennia. And although he appears human, he is actually an incredibly powerful demon. As I mentioned before, if he is able to wed Miss Brooks, he can consume her soul and achieve eternal life, immortal, omnipotent life. And he plans to do just that today. I was offering her an alternative, eternal life for herself as one of my kind, if she will give herself over to me. You see, if I force her, my redemption will be jeopardized. The demon would not be able to succeed if she were undead, you see.
Okay, well, this is all very interesting. So her choices are marry the guy and give him eternal life, or go with you and you get eternal life. Where exactly is her agency in this whole thing?
She doesn't have a lot of agency. No.
Yeah. What's her third choice? I say, guys, her third choice is we rescue this lady and she can do whatever the hell she wants to do with her life.
I like this plan.
I was not done talking.
Can I ask you one question?
Did
you break him?
I don't know. I think he has to answer a question. I was just being polite.
Okay, Redfield, go for it.
So this person... Booth person has been alive for millennia, is some sort of demon. If he has eternal life, what does that change for anyone? What makes him more dangerous if he's eternal than what he is right now?
What I know, which is very little, obviously more than you, is that the power that he would be able to wield would be more than you could ever imagine.
You have control over him, but he's still awfully snarky.
He is. Is he like a destroy the universe type of guy or dominate the universe type of guy?
The word I would use is enslavement.
Ah, okay.
Oh. Well, you know, at least he's not trying to destroy it just so he can build it up and make it better. Let's just go with a little enslavement. I'm good with that plot.
We can work with that.
Yes.
Okay, you said you had to finish.
You told me I needed to tell you everything. Mm-hmm. This is not... a thing I know, but a thing I fear. I would imagine that even if you are virtuous, that you must succeed in doing some good in this world before your deaths here will return you to where you call home.
What if we didn't die in our world?
I do not know how you would be here otherwise.
Oh.
Do you know anything about a magic cell phone that a very vulgar Cockney man once had?
I do not.
Okay.
I also do not know words cell phone.
Also, you have to tell us everything, right?
To the best of my ability, yes.
And then out of nowhere, he just picks up his hand and he tries to hit Redfield in the face and winds up punching himself in his own face. Little liar situation going on here.
Oh, he is getting all frustrated right now.
Yes, apparently that is correct. I must still answer your questions.
Okay.
I think for like a year. That's how the spell's supposed to work.
If my memory serves, it was not too long ago. It was maybe a minute or two.
Yeah.
It was 30 days. 30 days.
Oh, was it 30 days?
30 days. Hmm.
That's right. We're going to re-up this spell as soon as we can.
So, Redfield, you want to drag our little slave boy here somewhere else?
We can bring him with us wherever we go, or we can tell him to stay somewhere until we need him again.
Okay.
Like a little cachet of information.
Yeah.
All right, make him stay in that really skanky, nasty toilet out back.
And don't
just get
leave.
Him to go stand there. He's not allowed to leave until we come back and get him.
Have we asked him all the questions we need to ask him before we play this hilarious prank on him?
Probably not. We can always come back.
So, Betty Ann Brooks, we know. So you're trying to get her so you can get back to our world? Are you from our world?
That's a weird voice that you were using.
I'm sorry. Sometimes this voice hurts my throat. Are you from our world?
I was once, yes.
So is there anyone else here who knows about Booth's plan that you know of?
Nobody that I know of, no.
And it's going to happen tonight at or after the engagement party?
Yes, it is going to happen at the engagement party, which is actually a wedding.
Oh, right. Yes. You said this last time. I know it's only been a couple minutes, but it feels like it's been a month.
I've been here the entire time.
Does he have any friends that are going to try to stop us from helping Betty that you know of?
Henchmen
of some kind?
I do know, because of his status as war hero, he has many large, strong men at his side at all time. Mm.
Like most war heroes. okay.
They never travel without large, strong men.
Could you maybe take them out for us, Beacon?
I would not be able to do that. I'm not very strong.
How about you just try and take one out and see how that goes?
You seemed pretty strong when you were fighting us.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was all for show.
Mm. I think someone's changing the rules of how strong Beacon is.
sort of throwing you across the room.
All of a sudden, it's gone from scary vampire we have to fight in a bar to scary kind of vampire, like what we do in the shadows vampire. Yeah.
Peter?
Yeah.
Peter.
That's now how he looks in my head.
Yeah. Do you know how to stop this ritual, or just if he gets married, that's it? That's the ritual.
All that it is once they are wed in the eyes of God, it is over.
Which God? Yeah.
The pagan God, the Christian God. It's the way that the rules work. I do not know.
Okay. It's sort of like if a vampire believes that a cross is dangerous, it'll be dangerous.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And how you must invite me somewhere in order for me to go there.
Right, of course. Okay,
Is it time to invite him into the Kazi out back?
Apparently Thrace really wants you to go sit in the bathroom while we go explore more.
I went in there earlier. It looks like that one from Trainspotting.
Okay. Ooh. Do you know what Trainspotting is?
Yes. I watched it on that little cell phone device that Hendley used to zip us around with.
What was going to be your next move after Betty Ann turned you down?
Well, I did not get to think that far. You came over to my table. I was lamenting her refusal of my offer.
You really had no contingency plan for her saying, no, I don't want to be your vampire bride for all eternity?
Look, you missed 100% of the shots you do not take.
Okay, go wait in the bathroom.
So Beacon gets up, and on his way to the bathroom, he trips, falls onto an overturned bar stool, and accidentally dusts himself.
Bye-bye, Beacon.
Well, at least I can use that spell again.
Yes, it's out in the ether.
Okay. Right, spell's broken, right? Yeah.
Ooh, he's dead. That was unexpected.
Exactly. So what happens to him? I have a question. What happens to him now? He just died the death place.
Does he go back? No, because he said you had to do something good.
You have to redeem yourself.
But to him, redeeming himself was turning a woman into a vampire.
That's true.
It's then the reverse.
But he failed at that.
He did.
Maybe there's another layer that you haven't seen yet.
Maybe it's like, maybe it's like Inception.
Yeah.
Right, you're not quite at limbo.
Yeah. I said that in my Bobby voice, so I know what Inception is. Redfield doesn't know what Inception is.
To be fair, Thrace's voice and Jackie's voice are the same voice.
Sure, they are the same voice.
Look, I've lived in America for 18 years. I can't do an American accent. I was never going to commit myself to anything. Well, we have to go to this wedding.
Yeah, but what time is it right now, Brian?
It is 3:30.
Okay, some time has passed. What time is the party?
4:00.
Oh,
well,
wow.
We have half an hour to do a montage of getting our clothes ready for this wedding.
Yes. He turned up the clock on this one. Okay. So I guess we're going back to the hotel. I guess we're going back to the hotel.
Yes, we better hurry.
Time to put our Sunday best on.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I guess we're going to go back to the hotel and get into our best clothes.
Best party outfit.
As you make that decision, to Redfield, the Aguilera Remedy genie appears. Just to him.
What?
I have a correction to make.
Okay.
On some information that may have been misinformation. The Westlake Elixir allows for 99 hours of being disguised, not minutes. Unfortunately, I did not read very carefully.
Okay.
And Poopy's gone.
Thank God for that.
So, he just told us that the thing they said was going to last 90 minutes is going to last 90 hours.
Wow. Yeah.
So we'll get through this wedding.
Well, what a great edit.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, that's good, because can you imagine, like, if I went back to looking like normal?
Well, technically, we took him at like 6:00 in the morning, so we would have been regular looking for a while.
We just didn't notice.
Yeah.
That works out well.
All right, so we're headed back to the hotel, go up to our rooms.
Yeah.
We got rooms, right? Yeah, we got rooms from the lady who was chewing the gum and
And there are people in the hall with doors in the halls and stuff's going on.
So we're going to get changed into our nice looking clothes and head for the ballroom, I guess?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're gonna head down. Let's head down to the foyer, to the reception area, and speak to our gum chewing.
We should do that.
Veronica,
is it Veronica?
It is Veronica.
Woo!
Well done.
Thank you.
Hello again, Veronica.
Yeah, what can I do for you?
We are looking for the Brooks and Booth wedding party. Engagement party.
Yeah, it's over in the Colgate Ballroom.
Thank you very much, darling.
See?
Cheerio.
Yeah.
It's over to the right, then to the left, then to the left, then to the right.
Okay. All right, we got that. All right, so we're going to walk down that way, and we're going to... Do you want to check this out before we walk in, guys? Or you want to just...
I just want to walk
in.
Let's go in.
All right, just going to kick in that door then.
I'm walking here.
And Redfield's talking in...
You're just walking right to
fancy
suite?
Yeah, fancy 30s gentleman voice. So.
Yes, we're walking right in to where Veronica has told us this this engagement party is taking place.
Okay. We get over to that door and are you going to just open it?
We're
going to open it in style.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it'd be great if there was like a smoke machine behind us or some lights or something.
I might have something.
All right, good.
I could set it on fire.
No. Stop. No, I'm with a fire. Okay.
Oh, come on.
I have dust of sneezing and choking. I've got oil of slipperiness.
I have the jar of insults.
I've got a potion of fire resistance. I've got a lyre. You could play a little song.
I've got a lute somewhere. We can do it.
We're gonna dance in with Redfield's
We'll play you dance.
Redfield is gonna spark up one of his big doobies and play us a tune as we walk in style.
All right. So your plan is what?
I pull out my lyre out of my bag of holding.
Right. I've got a lute,
and I start playing a tune.
You don't have to record an acoustic version of that right now,
absolutely,
right?
Yes. Yeah.
Thanks to you. Okay.
So okay. So the final countdown is playing on a lute. Yeah. On a lyre.
Yeah. On a lyre, yes.
We just want to make sure everyone turns around and looks at us as soon as we walk through the door.
And the place is absolutely empty. There's nobody in there yet.
What? Whoa, that was a waste.
That was a waste.
We'll have to re-enter.
Yeah.
Damn it. All right.
Apparently, people are not early to these events.
Okay.
Still have about 25 minutes before it begins.
Guys, it only took us five minutes to get back and change.
Guys, we need to investigate this area because what if he has some secret symbols on the floor or
under tables?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Uncharacteristically intelligent, Thrace.
Hey.
Thank you.
I literally just went listened to the first episode and I'm very mean to you at the beginning, so I kind of forgotten.
So you need to carry on.
Gotta keep carrying it on.
Yes, throwing in those unnecessary derogatory adjectives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So roll investigation checks on the room, I guess. See if there's any traps or anything. Okay.
Yeah. So why don't you each do that?
10.
9 plus. What's my investigation modifier? 2. 11.
Mine's 11.
6.
11, 11, and 6.
Okay. To what you can perceive, it's just a room with lots of tables and chairs. There's a diamond pattern to the carpet. There's an area of the carpet that looks kind of... is bleach a thing that we have here? It might be.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit lighter in color. Probably about maybe... 15, 18 inches in diameter. And that spot is right in the corner that you've walked. So if you walked in all the way on the right-hand side, the right-hand corner is where that spot is. More of those framed photos of, paintings of old white men adorn the walls of this room. There's a stage and there's a what looks to be a setup for a jazz band that is on the stage. But again, it is completely empty. There's nobody in there right now.
Okay. Julian, don't you have a way of detecting magic or supernatural
It's in the bag somewhere.
I want to look more closely at that bleached part of the carpet. So I'm going to roll.
So Redfield's walking over and having a little nose around there.
Yeah, nose around there.
Okay.
I'm going to roll another d20. Oh, that one's even worse. That one's an 8.
It looks like it's recently wet. And that's kind of all you can see. But if you get closer, you might be able to get more information.
All right, call me over.
Thrace, I'm not having a little trouble investigating this
area.
What
is that over there?
I don't know. Come on over here.
All right, so I'm going to walk over there, and me and Redfield are now both standing just on the edge of this weird patch. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to roll an investigation check and see if I can see anything better. 15 plus 1, 16.
Nice.
All right. You start to notice that there's the unmistakable waft of something that's very flammable. There are fumes coming off of that area of carpet that make it seem like this is something that could be lit aflame pretty easily.
Oof. Guys, it's like they've put some kind of fire starter on here or... gasoline, or do we have gasoline?
Yeah, probably.
Yes, the 30s.
Yeah, 30s. Yeah, there's definitely gasoline. Not putting it in motor carriages, but you're
horseless carriage.
Exists.
That stinks. Why would you pour that on a rug? It looks like someone's planning on
an arson.
Yeah, planning on maybe destroying this place. Nothing good could come out of lighting that on fire. Now, this is the rug, or this is the actual carpet attached to the floor rug.
It's the rug.
As in,
I'm sorry. It's the carpet. It's
okay.
Okay.
It's not a roll up a ball.
No,
rug.
No.
Right,
and it's in the back corner. You said right, Brian?
Correct. Yeah. So there are no tables or chairs near it. Mm-hmm. It's out of the way, and no one would see it if they were just walking in and heading right to their table.
Mm. That's intriguing. Mm. But we don't see anything else around
here.
That's the
I have a spell called Find Traps.
Do it, Redfield.
So I'll give you the definition, Brian.
Yeah, tell me how that works.
Yeah. So it says you sense the presence of any trap within range that is within a line of sight. A trap for the purpose of this spell includes anything that would inflict a sudden or unexpected effect you consider harmful or undesirable. which was specifically intended as such by its creator. Thus, the spell would sense an area affected by the alarm spell, a glyph of warding, or a mechanical pit trap, but it would not reveal a natural weakness in the floor, or unstable ceiling, or a hidden sinkhole. So anything that's like naturally occurring, it would...
It has to be something that someone's deliberately placed there to do some damage.
Yeah. Huh? The spell merely reveals that the trap is present. You don't learn the location of each trap, but you do learn the general nature of the danger posed by the trap you sense. And it's just instantaneous, Brian. I don't have to roll anything for it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you do sense that there is more of this accelerant, if you will, all around this room. Hmm. Not concentrated in one particular area, but there is a general sense that somebody has taken time to coat areas of the room in something that can be lit a flame.
So it's not just this corner. It's
right. Correct.
Other
correct.
Places in the room. Okay.
Oh man.
So guys, I was gonna say I could just maybe we just cut this part of the rug out, but
that's not gonna
it's
work.
Not gonna work now,
guys. We have to stop everyone getting in this room.
Or yes, I right. probably.
Wouldn't that be the best thing to do?
Or just get Booth in this room and light it on fire.
Right, and get Ms. Brooks out of here.
Finally. See, Julian will get to do what he wants to do.
Light the world on
everything.
Fire. That's true. But also,
we need a pen. Julian's like, I've got fire.
There's one of these plans is rescuing everyone, and the other plan is luring someone for a murder.
Well, I mean, he's like a demon.
For a murder.
A murder.
He's a demon, though. He's like a demon that wants to enslave the universe.
That's a worthy thing to get rid of.
Well, how can we do both? How can we make sure we need to get him in this room before other people start turning up? Mm. We have like 20 minutes at this point.
Can you dance with him when he shows up?
Does it look like I dance, Julian?
Yes.
In all the time you've known me, have I ever danced?
You were dancing your way into the room. Nicely played.
Let me see. I'm trying to... If we could maybe get him here,
right?
To be like, oh, there's somebody. Mr. Booth, there's a problem with the
Let's
room.
Let's go to Veronica.
You don't have the top shelf liquor you paid for.
Let's go to Veronica and tell her that there's a problem with the room, and she can call up to him because we don't really know where he is right now.
We don't.
So if we tell Veronica, hey, Veronica,
you do.
I don't know.
Well, you know where his room is,
right? Mm-hmm. But if we can lure him, then we don't have to go up to his room and get him to follow us. We can call and say, hey, you're about to have this party. Well, someone just took a shit on the floor. You better come check this out.
All right, yes, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's go
So
out.
What should we tell Veronica? Should we tell her that they put the tables in, but they forgot to put the chairs?
I think you probably wouldn't call down the guy because they probably just call the maintenance crew to bring the chairs in.
Okay, how about the liquor hasn't arrived. We have some other stuff, but you might want to come down and supervise and tell us what you want.
I don't think that's a bad plan. I'm just wondering if Veronica will go along with it.
You have that spell of yours handy?
Yes.
Yeah, because again, look, I mean, honestly, I've had one good idea already tonight, so someone else needs to take over at this point.
I would rather not use it on a...
Yeah.
On like an innocent person.
Right.
Because it's going to suck for like 30 days. She's not going to really have anything
She's
to do.
A really efficient worker. Maybe if we just try...
Let's go try be very vague, like you said, and just be like, there's a problem that we think only Mr. Booth can deal with.
Okay.
Needs to come out of the room before guests come in, or it's going to be very embarrassing.
It's
going to be very embarrassing.
Yes, let's just do that.
Okay.
She's wrong.
All right.
Just don't say shit on the floor.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to say shit on the floor.
Okay.
Or arson.
All right. Oh, Veronica!
Yeah, what can I do for you?
So we've just been in the room, dear, and we noticed something that could be very embarrassing to Mr. Booth.
You're not supposed to go in there yet. It doesn't start for another 20 minutes.
Well, no, there was no sign, dear. There was no sign.
It wasn't locked.
You just told us where to go and we went. So really, if you think about it, it's a little bit your fault.
Yes.
So here's what we're going to do to make up for it, though. We need Mr. Booth to come down into the room because there's something in there that only he can take care of. And if anyone sees it before they walk in, it's going to be very embarrassing for them.
I've been given strict instructions to not bother Mr. Booth. What is it? Maybe I can help.
He will not want us to tell you what it is, dear.
It's so embarrassing.
We are saving your job here.
And listen, as much as you've been given instructions not to call him, this is going to be on your head if we've told you and you didn't do anything about it.
You guys are going to need to roll a persuasion check here.
14.
Ooh. 9. I'm 14 moved up to 9.
Plus, 14.
That's a 16 for me.
Yeah, I just rolled a 12, so you're going to be able to persuade me.
Dear to dear, Lith, we like you. We like you. You've been very, very kind to us since we've arrived. Treat us like family. We want to make sure that you keep your job. Please, please, please tell Mr. Booth that there's something in the room that needs his attention. He's going to want to see it himself. You're not going to want to ask any other questions than that because it could be very bad for you and for Mr. Booth.
I don't know. How about this? I'll call up to the room, but can you talk to him? I just don't want... I don't want to get in trouble.
Sure. Redfield will talk to him.
Sure. Before you call. What's your manager's name?
It was Bill, but he left a while ago. I haven't seen him since this morning.
But his name was Bill. Bill, okay. Okay, call up.
Okay.
And so she rings room 403.
Hello?
Hello, is this Mr. Booth?
Yes, it is.
Hold on 1 second, sir. Veronica, could you be a dear and just get us a pitcher of water? We're parched.
Absolutely. How many glasses?
Three. Three would be fine. Bring us four. Okay. One for Mr. Booth when he comes down.
Okay.
What is this about?
Mr. Booth, this is Bill from the front desk.
Well, hello, Bill.
So
you sound a little bit different than last time we spoke.
Sorry, I'm getting over a little bit of a cold.
And you're parched.
I'm a little parched as well. I just asked dear Veronica to get me a glass of water. Sir, we're having a little bit of an issue with your room.
My room? I'm standing in my room. Everything seems to be fine.
The ballroom, sir. I'm sorry. I should have been more clear.
In the Colgate room?
Yes.
Oh, what seems to be the matter?
You really need to come down and see what's happening. I don't want to see it on the phone. I want to overhear. I don't want anything embarrassing for you, Mr. Booth. We like to keep things hush-hush here.
Do you really think this is necessary?
Sir, I would not. I know your instructions. I would never call if it wasn't necessary. Please.
You're going to need to roll another check.
Of course he is.
15.
All right, you son of a bitch. Let's see what happens here.
Yes.
14! God damn it! All right, here we go.
Well, William, if you really think that is the case, let me just get on these cufflinks and I'll be down in just a jiff.
Wonderful, Mr. Booth. Please, but call me Bill. No one calls me William.
All right then, Bill. I'll see you momentarily. And again, you're sure you can't take care of this yourself?
Yes, I'm sure. I believe me, if I could, sir, I would. But I just, you need to see it before we make
any
decisions.
All right, Bill. I'll be right there.
So we're going to go to the room. We're going to go back to the hang up the phone. Veronica, you can 86 the water, dear. We're fine.
Veronica goes out of the water. We've already left.
Yeah, we're fine. So we go back to the...
And she's just holding... She has a pitcher of water in her hand.
And four glasses.
Again, this is 1947. Like, these are real glasses. She has four glasses in the other hand. And she just looks at you like... The fuck?
Sorry, dear. And we back to the Colgate room. So we need to figure out something just to buy us a little bit of time when he walks in the door. So he sees something and goes, oh, this is really weird. So one of us should maybe pretend to be dead or something in the middle of the floor.
Well, I've laid in my own pee for hours. So
this
I think
is
this could work.
What? Okay. How about maybe we do something to scare Julian? Because scaring Julian normally results in him laying on the floor peeing.
Yes. I don't know if we have time to scare him right now.
Damn.
I'll pretend. I've done well.
Yes.
Hello, listeners. This is Justin coming at you near the end of the episode. I had to take a little break, so... decided I'd walk up to the cemetery near my house, which I usually go in the morning for a walk now, but not usually at night. Felt like a nice place to, mourn Henley. I think myself and a lot of the listeners miss him. I just want to thank all the players and now our second DM for the game for letting me do my sound stuff. It's been a pretty fun time. And I use a lot of stuff from Battle Bards And actually, this episode has a lot of stuff from Tabletop Audio, which I think I used three different soundscapes for my own D&D game last night. And I think my players have fun with it. So, you know, nothing stopping you from using it too. And you can always reach out to us on Twitter. We're at DND, like the letter DND Adventure. It's always nice that everyone reaches out and talks with us there. It's nice to know after we got back from our break that our loyal listeners were still waiting for us, which we'd like to thank. And I know not everyone uses iTunes to listen to podcasts, but if you can take a couple minutes and go on there and give us a decent review, really helps the ratings. And, you know, we don't advertise for the show or anything, so it's the best way to get people to listen to us and get to know us. Well, this is a nice little break to take, getting out of the studio for a bit. There's been this weird stuff getting sent to me. I'm trying to figure out what it is, but anyways. Oh, I just saw a shooting star. Strange. Well, I guess I'll leave you with the end of this episode.
So, Julie, just lay on the floor, pretend to be dead. You and I, we're going to deface all of these pictures of these old white gentlemen.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So, Thrace and I are running around, right, just like...
Drawing mustaches and glasses on all of them.
I'm kind of, you know, putting my dagger through a couple of them.
I'm gonna jump in real quick and just award some inspiration.
Okay, nice. Thank you.
That's a really great idea.
We do that, and then we wait.
Yep. We wait for him to turn up.
Mm-hmm.
Have you drawn any dicks on these on these pictures?
Well, of course. If you're gonna do mustaches and glasses, what's
I'm
next?
I'm just saying it makes for terrible radio, but I really just want the
image.
All the dicks. Yeah, definitely. With the ball hairs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and the little droplets.
And the little droplets.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whole thing.
All right. You guys get that done, and there is a creak in the door as it opens, and there is Mr. Ferris Booth.
Right. I am going to. Where was I standing? My original idea was to be standing like behind the door so that we can close the door behind him.
I like the idea.
Yeah.
So you're saying, man, I'm sitting in the middle of the room looking over the body, writing on a pad as if I'm like a detective or something.
And I am standing behind the door. So when he walks through, I'm going to swiftly walk behind him and close the door and lock it to make sure we don't have any other unexpected guests.
Mr. Booth.
Bill, you don't look anything like what I remember you look like.
I don't know why that would be. I'm definitely Bill.
You were much taller when I saw you last.
No, I was wearing lifts. Don't tell anybody, I'm embarrassed.
All right, what seems to be the... Oh my God.
Yes, as you can see, Mr. Booth, there is a...
How did this happen?
No, I walked in the room for one final spot check, and this is what I found.
These are obscene images.
I know.
Is that a man laying on the floor?
Yes.
I think he died from the shock of seeing all the dicks.
Who are you?
This is my assistant,
Veronica.
Veronica.
All right, Veronica. Can we just call the authorities? This is the most important day of my life. It's starting in 15 minutes.
Mr. Booth, I mean, we can call the authorities, but I wanted to check with you first because, you know, this is going to be a very embarrassing thing for someone of your stature.
Well, if you can just get your people here and remove all of these paintings, call an ambulance. Take this man to Cook County Hospital. He'll get all the medical treatment he needs, or if he's dead, he can't be dead here is what I'm trying to say.
Not quite.
Uh-oh, it sounds like he's not quite dead.
He's
we should move him.
He's not quite dead.
He's not quite dead.
We need medical professionals.
We do. We shouldn't move him. What if he hurt his neck when he fell on the floor? Oh, he definitely hurt his neck when he fell on the floor.
Mr. Booth, that could open you up to a lawsuit.
Absolutely.
Bill, I implore you to call the police and an ambulance right now. This man needs...
You really want to... Oh, uh-oh. You might want to get yourself a lawyer, Mr. Booth. This is your room for the day.
I have guests arriving momentarily. I need these paintings gone, and I need this room cleared, and this man out of here.
Well, sir, we can't. We have called the police. It's not going to take care of it momentarily. It's going to take a little while.
Yes.
I don't care. I'm about to announce my engagement to the world of my engagement.
And it's a very upsetting time, I know, Mr. Booth, who language sometimes escapes us.
But Mr. Booth, we can't simply sweep this under the rug.
Mr. Booth, I would like you to take a look at... That's a good one. I would like you to take a look at one particularly bad painting. I think it's a message to you, sir. It's that one right in front of us, right in that corner over there.
And there's some very, very small writing on it.
Yeah.
You can't see it from here.
All right. All right. I'll take a look. And so he walks over to the painting.
Oh, now Julian needs to set the world on fire.
Okay. So I'm going to. He's going to. We're pointing towards the corner with the gasoline. That was our.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Julian, now.
Hands of fire. Burning hands. We don't want to do a lightning bolt and destroy the whole place.
No, we need fire. That's the point.
You want the lightning bolt? You want the whole thing?
Fire.
Okay,
fire.
Like burning hands.
Okay.
As you hold your hands with thumbs touching
I want to hear all the fine print. Thank you very much.
I've got my magnifying glass out. A thin sheet of flame shoots forth from your outstretched fingertips. 15 feet must take a dexterity saving throw. A creature.
Right, but he's not going for. He's not trying to hit.
He's not trying to hit the creature.
He's just trying to hit the
floor.
So the floor doesn't have a protective spell. So
it says the fire ignites any flammable objects in the area that aren't being worn or carried.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter if he hits him or misses him.
Yeah.
It's going to hit that rug anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
So you got to decide, Brian. I mean, you could make him roll something if you wanted to, but it wouldn't be exactly what's in the spell.
No, that's fine. He can just light it a flame.
Yeah.
If he can hit. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So he shoots that fire out of his hand.
And that little concentrated spot that Ferris is near goes right up in flame, and the fire starts to attach to Ferris's socks and the lower parts of his pants, and he starts to freak out. What is this? What is this?
Sorry.
No, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
He's a demon.
And the fire gets higher and higher on him, and it's not going out. He's in a matter of moments, he's just covered in fire, running around screaming.
This is something.
It kind of is, actually.
Yeah.
Yes. Is he going to die soon, though? Because it's getting a little real.
Yeah.
He's just running around screaming, and he's setting other stuff in the room on fire. We might want to leave.
Right. Shut the door behind him.
What's going on?
Well, he's running around the perimeter, knocking into chairs and tables and areas of the wall, and the tables and the floor are getting lit on fire as he's running through it. I mean, he's a
right,
running
guys.
Human fireball.
Guys, we gotta get out of here.
I'm not leaving till I see what happens to him. Have you ever read any kind of story? If we walk out of here, he's gonna be gone, and then we're never gonna find him again.
And
you can hit him with a warhammer.
Listen,
you live, you catch on fire.
Exactly, Redfield. I'm fireproof. I'm just thinking of you guys.
He runs directly at Thrace.
All right,
a flame running. It doesn't appear that he's necessarily aiming for you.
Right.
He's aimless. But he's headed right for you.
Right.
So you're going to need to do a dexterity saving throw to get out of his way.
I choose not to. I am simply going to grab him as I am fireproof. I cannot be damaged by flames.
That is true.
So I am now holding him. And I'm going to...
How are you holding him?
I'm just holding him like in a big old bear hug.
Okay.
And,
noogies.
And he's still, but like the smoke is kind of like irritating my nose a little bit, so I'm just going to hold him out at a distance. So I'm holding him at arm's length. He's still kind of flaming away.
Okay.
That's where we are.
He, as you hold him in this bear hug, you wind up bisecting him, and he, because he's turning to ash, and half of his body flies across the room, and half of it falls to your feet, and it's just smoldering, and he is dead.
Okay.
I didn't expect that to happen.
No, me either. And now I've got like I've got part of his shin bone in one hand and some hair in the other. Okay. Yes, we should probably put this room out. And actually, no.
How are we going to put this room out?
Okay, guys, let's just.
Wait.
No, I'm going to open the doors that I'd locked previously, and all three of us are going to walk out, and we're just going to do the Ghostbusters thing where we're just going to walk out, close them behind us, and proceed to the foyer.
So you're opening up the main doors to the, the Colgate ballroom?
Open up the Colgate room, and we're leaving the Colgate room.
You aren't, because you open up the doors, and there is Betty Ann Brooks, and she says, "How am I supposed to live forever now?"